Y'all ready for this? Because we're back with the Drunk Mustache Podcast. I'm Dino Wizard. I'm here again with TG. Hey, so how you doing this week, TG? This is totally the first time we've done this, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like doing it again for the very first time.
It feels like the first time. It feels like the very first time. Much like a virgin. This week we are brought to you by Nickelback. The only thing more awkward than your parents walking in on you masturbating is them walking in on you listening to Nickelback. Nickelback, not a bad band, but I love making fun of them.
Oh, shit.
Again, not a bad band. I just like making fun of them. Anyway, for y'all this week, we've got a couple of throwback albums and a song that just caught a lot of hype out of nowhere. We've got Despacito by Luis Fonsi, who y'all may not know. You probably think it's by Justin Bieber, but you're wrong. We've also got Gravedigger, Healed by Metal, and Allman Brothers. What was that one? Live at the...
At Fillmore East.
Live at Fillmore East, as TG was so kind to point out. It's one of their live albums we got a recommendation for. It's a sound a bit unusual to them. But anyway, we're going to start off this week with the song that kind of took the nation by storm once it made it over here, Despacito. So here's a quick clip of it. Sabes que ya llevo un rato mirándote. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy. Vi que tu mirada ya estaba llamándome. Muéstrame el camino que yo voy. Oh, tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso. So that's a little longer than our normal clip, but I actually really fucking like this song. So fuck you, TG, if you say otherwise. But what were your thoughts listening to this thing?
Again, this is I know I say this almost every time we record, but this is really far out of my usual taste. But I get it. I get why this has been so popular. It's got that beat that just feels like it's really easy to go get drunk and dance to. And it's such a perfect song for that I totally understand why so many of my DJ friends just cringe at their core when they hear the name of this song. In fact, the first time I heard about this song was my former boss from back when I was in high school, one of my summer job bosses. He also moonlights as a DJ, you know, event planner kind of guy. And his Facebook for like a week just turned into a flood of memes making fun of how over-requested this song is. And I get it. I can totally see how somebody in that profession would get tired of it. But, I mean, again, this is you're listening to somebody who doesn't really like going to clubs and dancing. If I'd had a couple of shots of tequila and was at a club, I could see myself getting down to this. This is not the worst song for a dance club. On an interesting side note, earlier this month, I was in the Dominican Republic for a friend of mine's wedding. That song was on the radio every other track the entire time I was in this country. They love this song down there, or at least that's the impression I got. But, yeah, you know, I'm not going to try to say whether I love or hate it, because this just it's just so far out of what I enjoy that I don't think I can even be remotely objective. But at bare minimum, I get why people like it. There you have it.
Yeah, I got a bit of a background on this song from, a couple of people at work. But one friend in particular was a guy from Puerto Rico who lived up here. Apparently, Luis Fonsi is like a big thing down there. Like, he is one of their biggest artists. And yeah, apparently that whole area in the Gulf of Mexico, the Bahamas, all that stuff, they just really like his music. I had never heard of him because, I mean, he sings pretty much in, I assume that's Spanish. I'm sorry if that's discriminatory. I don't honestly know what language he's singing in. But yeah, I mean, he's got a good vibe and he's got a good feel, and I can see why. The reason he got brought over here was because Justin Bieber heard his stuff and was like, yeah, I want a part of that. And I don't think Justin Bieber added anything to the song, but yeah, I really like the song. I think for me it's the fact that it's got a good tempo, it's got a good beat, it's not ridiculously over the top. It doesn't try to be something it's not. It's just a guy singing a basic tune over kind of like a string guitar, and it's got a good feel to it. You can listen to it in the car and enjoy it. You can listen to it at the club, enjoy it. It's a good song for no matter where you're at. And I think for me, it's also kind of cool to see somebody get that kind of exposure that normally wouldn't, because they're outside of the United States, and that makes them a little less popular. I'm sure this guy probably makes enough money even though he from where he is locally, but that's still a really cool thing to think about, that this guy kind of blew up just because of one phone call from Justin Bieber, of all people.
Yeah, and on that note, I wasn't sure what version we were going to listen to, so I listened to both the original and the Justin Bieber remix, and you know, it's kind of funny. There's not a whole lot of difference between the two, except for the fact you've got Justin doing some English verses, and then Luis comes in and redoes one or two parts in English. But otherwise, it's the same song. So, you know, I kind of wish that the original was a little bit more popular, just because it felt more consistent in that vein anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I listened to the Justin Bieber version once, and I'm not a huge fan of that. Maybe there's just something about it for me. I think it's – this might be a weird take, and we'll talk about it kind of with Gravedigger as well, but when a band or an artist is clearly, like, not natively English-speaking and they start trying to sing English, it's weird to me. It sounds weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would much prefer it if they're singing naturally in their own language, you know. And I mean, you could listen to other bands. I think another big one is Baby Metal right now, that's in our genre. And they've got a few songs where they sing in English, and I'm like, oh God, please don't. Just stop. I would much rather...
On that note, Karate is the best song they've ever done, and it's the only one I will ever listen to.
All right, fine. We can have that debate later. But the point being is, like, I would much rather not know what you're singing about and listen to you in your native language than, like, try and actually understand the song, but hear you doing a really bad job singing it in English. I don't think Luis Fonsi really struggled with his English, but the fact that they took it out and they translated it, it kind of makes the song weird to me.
Yeah, that was kind of – I had a hard time articulating it when I was listening to it, but you kind of hit the nail on the head for me too.
Yeah, I mean, Luis did a much better job than I think a lot of people do going from Spanish to English. But, I mean, it just sounded weird to me. So I much prefer the original. Still, I mean, I like the song. I can't lie. I really do enjoy the song. And I think part of it's because a lot of the other stuff we listened to this week was kind of in a different vein. This was much more, I guess as my Puerto Rican friend put it, like, every song from Puerto Rico has got that very happy, preppy kind of feel. There's no downside. It's always really happy and it's always really fun, and that's just what it's about. I mean, I can't argue with that. It was a very fun and enjoyable song.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I would give the song like a 6 or a 7. It'll probably be off the air and nobody will think about it again in a couple of weeks. But for the moment, it's a really good song. It's really fun. I get why there's a lot of hate because it's overplayed, but you know, that's just the music industry in general. So what are you gonna
do?
Exactly. Moving up. Next we've got Gravedigger from over in Germany. They've got a new album called Healed by Metal. Here's a clip from the title track. Okay, and that was that. So, honestly, I had high hopes for this album because I recommended it. I didn't know much about the band itself, but they have a lot of albums in Germany. And I think this is like their 15th or something. They've had a ton of albums. It's ridiculous. So I had some, I was pretty optimistic. I was like, okay, maybe they're pretty good. They got a good sound or something. They immediately pissed me off with the first few songs on this album. The lyrics that they're singing in here, it made me feel so bad. It was like listening to a, there was like listening to a 15-year-old singing and bragging about how hardcore they are. Like, oh God, I'm just so, we're so metal guys. God. So yeah, it really pissed me off the first few times I listened to it. But I went back and I listened to it again, and I actually enjoyed it more the second time, but I had to kind of tune out the actual vocalization. I've got more to say, but TG, what were your thoughts on the album itself?
All right, I'm not going to come out and say that I loved this album, because you're right, it wasn't that good, but I think I did enjoy it a little bit more than you did. Like, I'll give you the first song. That made me cringe like hell. Healed by Metal. We rock! Come on, guys. That's just... Oh my fucking God, that's so bad. But after that song, it kind of picked up for me a little bit. Like, I loved Lawbreakers. The whole time I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, this is late 80s Judas Priest. This is fucking awesome. Yeah, it's cheesy, it's over the top, but you know what? It's fun. And that kind of described a couple of other songs on the album for me, you know. And I grew up listening to stuff like this and blues rock, so this was a bit of a nostalgia trip for me. The whole time I'm thinking, replace the gravelly sounding vocalist with somebody a little more high pitched, and again, you've got Judas Priest. You know, this was just classic, over the top, cheesy 80s power metal, and some people don't like it, and that's fine, because I get it. It's over the top, it's ridiculous, it's almost a caricature of itself, but for me personally, it was a fun listen. It kind of reminded me of the stuff that I first started listening to when I got into metal. So, you know, the one like distinguishing thing for me was the vocalist. A lot of 80s style, a lot of power metal, a lot of hair metal bands, they have that really high-pitched, whiny, wailing vocalist, and they didn't really have that here. They had somebody that was a little deeper, a little more gravelly, a little more heavy, and I think that fits a little bit better. That's like actually one of the reasons I never got very big into like Helloween and Gamma Ray and bands of that nature, because, you know, it sounds like they're singing with their balls in a vice grip, and it's just sometimes it works, but a lot of the time it really doesn't. So all in all, I had a lot of fun listening to this, even on first listen. Yeah, some of it was kind of cringy, but that's just something that comes with the territory when it comes to listening to power metal.
I guess, man. When I think of power metal, I tend to think of like Iron Maiden or something, and totally different sides of the spectrum there. But yeah, when I listened to this the second time, I gained a better appreciation for the music because I was able to kind of tune out the lyrics. But this kind of falls into the situation where we were talking about with Luis Fonsi. Like, I wonder if I would enjoy this more if they were singing in their native language and I didn't know what the hell they were singing about anyway. Like,
well, yeah, because everything in German sounds more aggressive. It doesn't matter what you're saying.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. But, I mean, it probably would have screwed up their tempo or something. I don't know enough about the German language to kind of to do a translation. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I thought it was average, I guess. It wasn't great. Sure. It wasn't bad. I kind of wanted to put it in the bad category initially, but I listened to it again. I'm like, nah, it's not really bad. It's just not really good either. Kind of middle of the bell curve, 5, you know, straight down the middle. Once you get past how cheesy the lyrics are, yeah, I think the guitarist and the drummer, there is a bit of stuff there. They're not really pushing the tempo or anything, but yeah, generic power metal. I was actually thinking that they were more like a hair metal band for comparison, but yeah, I gotcha. I get you where they – I give that feel. So certainly not bad.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you got to take it for what they are. They know their little niche, and they're playing it, and – yeah, it's nothing special, but like I said, it was a lot of fun to blast.
Well, and I do agree with you on this part. I think, and you can kind of get this from the fact of how many albums they have put out. Clearly, they are enjoying this, you know. And I think it's more fun to listen to an album when they're not just doing it for, you know, making money or anything. They're doing it because they enjoyed making these songs, no matter how cheesy they do sound at first. They enjoy making these songs, and they enjoy playing. And some of the music videos they're actually playing had them with a bunch of fans and stuff just singing and chilling. And I was like, it's pretty fun at the end of the day. I didn't like it. I didn't like it as much as clearly as much as you did. But I had to give them credit where it was due, where clearly they are more talented than I was viewing them in the first light. So yeah, I'm going to stick with my designation, but I wish they were less cheesy, and I'm sure they've got some albums in the backlog, you know, of however many albums they have out there right now that are much better than the one that we're currently listening to. But end of the day, I'm probably not going to buy this, or probably not going to think of them again for a very long time.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. I had fun, but it wasn't anything that made me think, oh, I got to go check out the rest of their shit. This is fucking awesome. It was fun in the moment for what it was. And you know what? If I saw them come through on some tour coming through Atlanta by some twist of fate, I'd probably go check them out. But that's as far as that goes for me.
I don't know. Like, I could see them being, like, not the headliner, but they might, you know,
they might be
leading up to another band. I don't know. Like, at Metallica, we had the Volbeat leading up to Metallica at their concert a couple of weeks ago. And it's like, that was kind of my feeling on that matter, where it's like, you know, I don't really have anything positive to say about Volbeat, but they were there and they were playing their hearts out, and that was A-okay by me. So, you know, at the end of the day, playing and enjoying yourself, I think a lot of people respect that, and I think it goes a long way. So, yeah. Moving on. Speaking about playing and enjoying yourself, we got the Allman Brothers at Fillmore East. Now, I'm going to start off. I'm just going to play a quick clip. I couldn't find any individual songs for the album. I just have the whole album put together. So just here's the quick intro from the album. So that's just a quick intro to the whole album itself, and if you couldn't get a taste of it, the Allman Brothers went a lot more bluesy in this album than I think I was used to hearing from them anyway. TG, your dad actually recommended this album because of that reason. Do you want to kind of give the intro?
Yeah, so I'll be honest, it's difficult for me to fully articulate my opinion of this because this album and pretty much Allman Brothers' entire discography is what I grew up hearing blasted on the stereo every weekend while my dad was grilling steaks out back. You know, this to me, I've never actually listened to the Allman Brothers albums on their own. I've always just kind of heard it in passing as my dad was playing, but I guess it affected me a little bit because one of my favorite bands on the planet is Between the Buried and Me, especially their last couple of albums that are very much like progressive, kind of almost jam heavy, where it just feels like they go off on their own little improvised tangent. So listening to this album, I really felt like this was the quintessential progressive jam album. Yeah, there were a couple of like 4 or 5 minute long songs that were just standard blues rock songs where it was like a couple of shouted verses and just some really nice, you know, just really heavy blues riffs to it. But then you had the especially the closing tracks, In Memory of Elizabeth, I think it was, and Whipping Post, where at first they start off like standard, you know, chorus, verse oriented songs, but then they just go off on their own, just incredibly epic, random tangent, just jamming and almost, maybe they were improvising, maybe those were songs that they had rehearsed thoroughly beforehand. It's hard to believe with one of them clocking in at 23 minutes long.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, it was one of those bands, or one of those albums, sorry, that I just had to really sit down and kind of zone out to listen to because there was so much going on. This is one of the first rock albums or blues albums that I've listened to in a long time that I could actually hear the bass guitar playing. And to me, that alone scored major points in my book because that guy was playing the hell out of that bass, and it was just incredible to hear.
Yeah.
So I'll kind of cut myself off there and let you kind of get a word in edgewise because I could go on for another several hours if left to my own devices. But suffice it to say, this was really cool to listen to.
Well, first off, I agree with what your dad kind of tried to sell us on, which was this is kind of a side of the Allman Brothers that you don't normally get to see. They take the tempo a lot slower and they kind of play, they take it a little easier. In when you think of the Allman Brothers, you probably think of like Ramblin' Man or Jessica, something like that. These
also
are
good songs in their own right.
No, no, no. I'm not saying they're bad songs. I'm just saying the tone that those songs set is totally different than a lot of the songs on these album, on this album. A lot of the songs on this album are kind of sorrowful, very sad. You know, if you couldn't tell by the names of the song, you know, In Memory of Elizabeth and Whipping Post, those are not fun, enjoyable, you know, happy ditties. But, I mean, the Allman Brothers do clearly enjoy playing with them. Now, this is just an Allman Brothers thing in general. So if you're not familiar with their work and you listen to us and you're like, okay, I want to go listen to this album, be aware that, as TG pointed out, they really enjoy jamming. There's a lot of jam banding. There's a lot of songs they probably,
like, I think the shortest non-standard song is like, what, 10 minutes long?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of songs that would probably normally be 4 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes on other albums that somehow get turned into like 15 to 20 minute amalgamations. And again, if you're used to listening to Allman Brothers, that's fine because you're probably ready for that and you know what you're getting yourself into. But if you're not, then like keep yourself in mind. Keep that in mind. There's a lot of stuff that gets stretched out on this album. So if you don't like that, you're probably not going to like this album. That said, I enjoyed it because it felt like you were getting a feel for every single person in the band. It seemed like everybody got a chance, even like the harmonicist, the person on keyboard, you know, everybody was kind of like playing their little ditty. And that, I enjoyed that aspect where you could kind of see where everybody was at and what was going on. And you got a different kind of touch from every single person that was involved with the music. I really liked that. Personally, I also like the blues touch. I've actually been looking for a good blues album for a while now, and the first couple of songs on this album really gave me that bluesy feel I was looking for. Just really sad, slow, sorrowful music that kind of grinds into your soul, and it just felt good for me. I mean, I really liked that, and I was not expecting that from the Allman Brothers of all people. I would, obviously it's a little different for TG because I think, like you said, you grew up on it. I'm familiar with the Allman Brothers. Like, I think if you haven't listened to some of the Allman Brothers, then what are you doing with your life? Come on. But I mean, I didn't listen to them probably as much as you did as a child. And for me, it was kind of like unexpected. It was a little out of left field to hear this kind of music coming from them. And I enjoyed it, but again, kind of the same thing with Gravedigger. I'm probably not going to go back and listen to this album again, and that's partially because of the jam banding thing, where it's like it's really fun once, but you kind of got to get back in the mood if you're going to go back and listen to it a couple of more times.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I'll admit I'm a weird case because, like I said, I like bands like Between the Buried and Me, where they frequently have songs that on the shorter side are at 8 and 9 minutes and almost approach this, but so it's kind of cool to kind of see where that kind of thing came from, just that really kind of almost improvisational sound. But it was also really cool to listen to something that was a little bit more relaxed and bluesy like this, because like between The Buried and Me, Meshuggah and Dream Theater, those bands are not exactly bands that I'd want to put on the stereo and sit back, relax, and crack open a beer. I could see that being a regular thing on the weekends for some of this music.
Yeah, well, and I will say, as you kind of pointed out with your dad, like, this is probably really good background music. Like, if I wasn't...
Exactly.
If I wasn't, like, actively trying to listen to it, this is really good music to have on. But, like... If I'm looking for a song that I actually want to listen to, it's probably not gonna be it. You know, if it is, it's probably gonna be one of the first three songs on there. Like you said, I forget which song it was, but God, the one that turned into 22 minutes. Like, I was actually doing work. Yeah. I was actually at work doing something that takes like 40 minutes, and I was like in the middle of doing it and setting it up, and then I kind of got to this waiting period, and I was like, holy crap, this song is still on. Still. I mean, you know, if I don't, there's a time and a place for that. I just didn't, I wasn't expecting it. It's not my kind of thing. Let's put it that way.
Agreed. It's not something that I would go back and listen to frequently either, but it was a pleasant kind of unexpected for me.
I would give this album a 6 or a 7. It's somewhere between a 6 or a 7. I'm not that big a fan of their stuff, and it's kind of a little bit out of left field for my genre tastes, but it was a good album overall. I would give it a listen at least once. If you haven't kind of listened to a lot of Allman Brothers, this is a good album to kind of get a feel for them. But yeah, I mean, if you probably want to pick a different album if you just want to get a feel for them somewhere else. This is... really kind of drags out a lot in some places. So,
yeah. I mean, for me, just to kind of wrap up my thoughts, and I promise I'll shut up after this, I'd have to give this like a 9 out of 10 personally, just because I love progressive music like that. And the thing that really stuck out to me compared to other albums like this that I've listened to is, it didn't feel like they were just trying to fill space for the point of just for the pure need to fill space. It felt really natural. It felt like it was just flowing. It felt like one of those shows that if I was there to see in person, it would have been like, oh shit, it's already over. How has it only been an hour and a half? What the hell's going on? But then again, like I said, some of my favorite bands are bands like Between the Buried and Me and Dream Theater. So I guess it kind of makes a little bit more sense that I like this. So, but yeah, 9 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, I mean, and that makes sense. I mean, as long as you're keeping in mind two things, like, or three things rather. Let's go with three things. One, clearly this is your taste of music. Two, I don't really think you're grading on a bell curve there. And three, you're fucking wrong. But I mean, as long as you keep those three things in mind, I mean, yeah, you totally nail on the head there.
But we can keep one thing. I think we can agree on one very important thing, though.
Okay.
I have one question for you. What's the good word?
To hell with Georgia?
Exactly.
Are you just throwing that in there to piss your dad off?
Maybe, maybe not. He may not even listen to this. I don't know. I kind of hope he doesn't, because he knows that, I don't know.
He knows you.
And he knows you. They
and
know.
You know you.
We all know.
And he knows that you know that he knows you. That's.
And I know.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I'm not. If we're just sticking to the music, I'm not going to argue. It's a pretty good thing. But, yeah, to hell with Georgia. Well, to all our listeners out there, if you disagree with our taste in college football teams or our taste in music, feel free to leave a comment below and tell us what we should listen to and where we can shove our opinions. To everybody else, have a good rest of your week. Take it easy. TJ, you got anything for your fans out there?
I have fans. This is news to me.
Yeah, dude, Dare to Dream.
Learn trigger control, children.
See, that's
trigger discipline. Learn it, love it, know it.
In bed. All right. Anyway, have a good rest of your week, everybody. Bye-bye.